and preach. After that,
amen. That's what we're standing on this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. I tell you what, I believe that Sunday school is important. I believe it's very important. Well, this ought to be funny. Somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, you come in here with a suit on. If you knew me before I met Jesus, you'd understand why the Lord makes me dress like this. I was in my comfort zone, I mean, in a big way for a long time. And so, amen. Hey, it's good to see you this morning. It's good to be back. My name is, well, you know my name. There's folks in here I ain't met before, I haven't seen, and it sure is a blessing to see you. It's a privilege to come through. Of course, it's January, and I'm from Ohio, so it's good to be in San Antonio. We're on our way west, and we appreciate you letting us stop by, and we appreciate the friendship of this church. And you're getting ready to have a meeting with one of my dearest friends. Matter of fact, the man that's responsible for introducing me to this church. And he's blessed my life richly, Pastor Veach. And boy, you're gonna have a good meeting when he gets here. Amen. And on Sunday school, I was trying to keep my thoughts together. I believe it's important, and I was taught it was important to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You need to be under the teaching of the Word. And you have some good teaching here this morning. I'm preaching in at Lord willing in Mesa next Sunday, but if I wasn't, I'd try to get back here and hear the rest of that, Brother Brian. That was good stuff. Amen?
Amen.
All right, take your Bible this morning and go to Exodus. And as soon as the last thing he said was, but we're going to start in Exodus today. And Exodus chapter 14. Amen. Exodus chapter 14 this morning. And we're gonna it's familiar, I'm sure. We're not in a New Testament only church. I know that for sure. Amen. You'd have fired me by now. Amen. It says this in Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 8. Now, you know what has happened. Moses has come and Aaron has come before Pharaoh and all that with the miracles and the beseeching of Pharaoh to let God's people go. That's taking place. And Pharaoh has let God's people go. And then a little earlier, a few verses back from where we're going to pick it up, it says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he had a reason for that. We're going to get it in verse 8. Well, it says here, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. They had left, but Pharaoh changed his mind, and the Lord impressed that upon him, said, hardened his heart. Notice when it says that they went out with a high hand. There is where your high five came from. I mean, yeah, you'll see it. Amen. You'll see it in blades and people. Amen are in agreement. That's what's going on here. And we're talking about a couple million people went out, and they were high-fiving all the way out of Israel, out of Egypt. You would be, too, if you'd been in bondage for 400 years. I'm telling you what, I wouldn't have any problem giving everybody around me a high hand. You with me?
Right.
I never saw that before, but I liked it. Amen. It says in verse number 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them. Notice, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. That's who's chasing after Israel now. That's who's pursuing. Now get this. At this time on the planet, Egypt is absolutely the most formidable military might on the planet.
Right.
So when it says all the horses and the chariots and his army, that's a bunch of folks. Amen. And it says they're pursuing Israel, and it says, let me see, and overtook them, verse 9, in camping by the sea, beside Pahiroth, near Baal-Zephon. Somebody asked me, said, is that how those are pronounced? Hey, you don't know either. Leave me alone.
Amen.
And verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Amen. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. I mean, can you picture what's bearing down on them, what's coming? Amen. And it said they're afraid. And I'm going to tell you, they asked God, delivered them. God has led them out. God sent them out. I don't fault them at all for being afraid. Amen. Amen. And they did the right thing. At least in the beginning. They did the right thing when they were so afraid. It said there at the end of verse number 10, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And listen, when circumstances come upon us in our life and take us by surprise, amen, He's the one to cry out. It says in Psalm 40 and verse 1, and I waited patiently for the Lord and cried unto Him, and He inclined unto me and heard me. I've just slaughtered that verse, but going on anyway. Some of you didn't know that, but I'm told by myself. Amen. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. How's that? That's how it goes. And so they cried unto the Lord, and that's the right thing to do. But then they did what then their humanity comes out. They did what we're prone to do. And it says there in verse number 11, and they said unto Moses, all right? I guess God didn't answer them fast enough. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. No, that is not what they said to him at all. They waited for 400 years for the promise to come true that God would send a deliverer, and when He did, they were ready to be delivered, but now they're sore afraid, they're in fear for their life, and the first thing they do, they cry out to the Lord. That's a good start. But then, boy, in no time at all, they're complaining to their pastor. Amen. That's just how it is. That's how it is with humans. I'm going to tell you something. It said there, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians. No, it wasn't. Listen, I'd rather die free than live as a slave. And God delivered them. Amen. And they were all for it. And so that's what's going on. And you got this great army marching down. I take a moment and try to grasp that in your head. Now, we're in Texas. All right? You guys know more about horses probably anywhere else I go. Surely a lot more than I do. But I've been in a few places, and I've seen horses galloping, and one big old horse, four hooves hitting the ground at a gallop. I'll tell you what, that'll make an impression. I want you to try to picture for a second a whole army, the biggest army there could be possibly, potentially, thousands and thousands of horses bearing down on this nation, and every one of them horses, those four hoofs hitting the ground, I'm telling you, wouldn't that shake the very ground? And not to mention the fact that a bunch of them are pulling chariots and all the trappings and the tack on those animals and those wheels and that armor banging. You'd be scared too.
Amen.
Think about that. Think about those foot soldiers marching. It says they marched. And I was in the army, and we marched. I'll tell you what, you get a battalion marching in step, and boy, there's a sound that comes with that that's a little, a little overwhelming in step. And we're talking about men with armor and with weapons, and maybe they would do like those Romans did, and when they take a step, and they bang that spear on their chest. I'm going to tell you what, all that is for a purpose. All that is to put fear into the enemy. And that's what's going on. And there these guys, they went out with a high hand and hoes and pitchforks and sheep and the things that they were going to need to start a new life in the promised land. But they didn't go out with weapons. They didn't go out with the things they needed. Nobody had what was necessary to defend against this army. They had conquered the civilized world as they knew it, and now they're bearing down. Israel had already been subject to these folks for all that time, and they knew they were no match for them. And I could just imagine as that army got closer and the dust would rise to the sky from all those horses, and maybe the sun, if they had their back to the Red Sea, and Egypt, I don't know why I keep confusing them, But Egypt's marching toward them, and it's in the morning, and that sun's behind them, or the sun's behind Israel, and it would be reflecting off that armor, and maybe off those spear tips. I'm telling you what, psychologically, all that would be extremely intimidating.
Amen.
Then that army get close enough, not only are you feeling the ground shake, amen. But maybe when those commanders got close enough and that they came in and started, maybe they could even hear the captain crying out, calling out flanking orders. And you see that start to surround. Man, listen, man, the Bible says they were sore afraid. I mean, reiterate, I don't blame them.
Amen.
I don't blame. Can you picture that in your mind? Because that's what's going on here. Amen. So, Moses, God's man, he speaks. He speaks, and let's look what he says to him. Here's what he says to him in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. Forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I love reading that.
Amen.
And I know it's true. But I want you to try to imagine if you were one of those Israelites there at the bank of the Red Sea, this scenario all around you, and your commander, amen, your pastor, that's what he was, the pastor of the church in the wilderness, he steps up. All that's going on. You're huddling around. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about being recaptured and hoping that it only meant re-enslaved. Knowing there's a really good chance that Pharaoh's finished with you. And chances are everybody there is going to be slaughtered. And with that kind of fear, and then all we worry about what Obama's going to do. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Amen.
And all of a sudden Moses stands up and says, fear ye not. Stand still. Bet that went over like a ton of bricks, amen. But I'll tell you what, it came to pass, didn't it?
Amen.
Came to pass just like the Lord said it would, amen. The Lord fought for them, and the Lord wiped them out, and we're still talking about it all these many years later. It was a great deliverance.
Amen.
For Israel. It was a great defeat for Pharaoh. And I don't care what Cecil B. DeMille, that guy who made that movie, when I got saved in a county jail 25 years ago in November, I got saved. I had a King James Bible that was given to me. I read it. I asked the Lord to save me. I got out of jail 3 weeks later and started going to a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio, where my preacher showed me and taught me and revealed to me the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And boy, I was just, man, so glad to be delivered from dope and so glad to be delivered from liquor. And I just wanted to get all as much Bible as I could. I was on a pre-sentence investigation and I was getting ready to go to federal penitentiary. Amen. And I just want to get loaded up so just the Sunday school and the midweek service and all the preaching, it wasn't enough. I went to a video store and bought the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. I wanted to add. Hey, it's still one of my favorite movies. I'll tell you what, $30 for a 2 VCR video cassette, that's a lot of money. I'm making $6 an hour. I don't know how people make it working legally. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, amen. But in that movie, and then that new one that came out, that's even stupider, Pharaoh survived. Let me tell you something. In this one, Pharaoh didn't survive. I'm going to tell you what, man. You better get your doctrine out of the Bible.
Amen.
And stay away from some of the fairy tales. And all, like Brother Brian was talking about, everybody's got a lot to say and to get it off of that stinking internet. And I've had people try to argue things. Well, it's written down, it's documented, you can read it. Do people really believe? Listen, only one thing that is in writing can you put your faith 100% entirely in, and it's that King James
Amen.
Bible.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, great defeat for Egypt. Amen. Great deliverance for Israel. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So would you agree with me that that right there, that account we just read was a great salvation? Wasn't it? All right, good. Now I'll take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 2, and I thought you were going to preach my message. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, amen, is where we're going to be, and we're talking about a great salvation, and Brother Brian read the verse, and we're going to look at it as soon as I find it. That was in here this morning. Verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, the plight, I've tried to show you a picture, paint you a little word, mental picture of the state of Israel and their condition, about to be slaughtered, wiped out by a very angry Pharaoh and the largest army in the world, and it looked absolutely desperate, and they didn't have an exit strategy. They didn't have a plan. They didn't know that was coming. They were without hope. But I want to say to you this morning, if you're in here and you're not saved, your situation is a thousand times more serious than what these folks faced up at the imminent slaughter by Pharaoh's army, or drowning in the Red Sea. I mean, I'm going to tell you this too. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And the great salvation that Jesus Christ made available to you and I by shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary is a much greater salvation.
Amen.
Than we just read about when it comes to the Red Sea. You know why? Because Israel was delivered that day. But in the next 40 years, almost all of them died in the wilderness. Of those original, Joshua and Caleb, if I'm reading my Bible right, are the only ones that went into the promised land. Amen. So even though they were delivered that day, eventually they died. But here's what we know. Those that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting forgiveness, they get delivered forever.
Yes.
This brother's going to be baptized.
Amen.
Amen. He called upon the name of the Lord. And
amen.
Man, I'll tell you what, you don't have to worry about dying in the wilderness. You get to live forever. That Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, there's some confusion, even in religious circles, as to the definition of everlasting. So I did a real intense study on it, and I determined that it means everlasting.
Amen.
To which I say, duh, what is wrong with these people? I don't know any Greek. I don't know any Hebrew. I'm actually, if you talk to my wife, you'd find that I'm still struggling with normal people English. But, amen, I know what everlasting means.
Amen.
That's a great salvation.
Amen.
He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Amen.
Well, that's a good question, and I'm no scholar, I'm no theologian, I am a sinner saved by grace just
Amen.
Like you, but because of the Word of God, I can answer that question.
Amen.
You won't. You won't escape. The Bible says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life, is cast into the lake of fire. That's what he's talking about, escaping. And the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary is the only way out.
Amen.
Great salvation this morning. Give you a few things about it. Let's pray again. Father, I do come to you in the name that is above every name. And I am so glad that there was a day and there was a time and there was a place where I bowed more than my knee to you, Lord. And God, I thank you for making the gift of eternal life available to me. And not just to me, but to everyone. And anyone that'll just get honest with themselves for a moment, get honest with you and admit they have a need. They can, on their best day, on their worst day, any day, they have a need they cannot meet. The Bible says our help cometh from the Lord. There's no avenue, there's no place to turn, there's no government program or policy There's nothing that can take care of our biggest problem, and you took care of it.
Amen.
For us when you gave your life on the cross of Calvary. What a great salvation. Even now, as I attempt to preach this thing, I'm reminded of what love. I don't even get it, Lord. But I'm glad that you're willing to go to such great lengths for folks like us. And I thank you for the victories that you give. And so many in my life and many lives here. And Lord, there's people struggling with things, maybe newly saved that are struggling. Lord, the Bible says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And like Brother Brian said, yeah, we struggle, but it keeps struggling.
Amen.
Father, Lord, today, I pray for that soul in here today, that if they stepped out into the path of an oncoming car or something like that and stepped into eternity, that they wouldn't be present with the Lord. They'd be lifting up their eyes in that place that you prepared for the devil and his angels. And Lord, the Bible says you're not willing that any should perish. And you went to these great lengths we've discussed already to make a way out of that thing. And Lord, I pray that no one in this room miss out on this great salvation. I pray that no one in this room ends up in a devil's lake of fire. Please make it easy for people, in spite of me and my whatever it is I'm going to do. Make it easy for people to see Jesus Christ this morning and that love. I love you, Lord, and help me to love you more. Please, Lord, minister to us as only you can. We're under no misconception about what this is about. This is about you. Move in our midst. Encourage Christians. And we'll thank you for it. And in the name, again, the holy, mighty, majestic name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let me give you three things about it. Now, let me call a message this. If you haven't figured out a title, you probably haven't. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So I'm going to ask a question, and I'll answer it. Okay, don't even bother raising your hand. What's so great about it? What's so great about salvation? Amen. And take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Amen. Romans chapter 5. And you know what are the what's the meaning of life came up. What's the meaning of life? And when Brother Lindo, before Brother Brian got here, he said, well, does anybody have a question? And someone threw out the question. What's the meaning? I know what the meaning of life is. I know what it's all about. I know what our purpose is, I know where, and this is just a little nugget for you. Revelation 4:11, that's the meaning of life. We are put here to please Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
Amen. There's people still, they're searching for the meaning, they're getting educated, man. They don't know where they came from, they don't know why they're here, they don't know where they're going. I know all those things. Yeah, and I'm not even very smart. Don't amen right there. I know you felt led to. Amen. Actually, it wouldn't bother me a bit. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. I'm going to give you three things that makes this salvation that we're talking about so great. It says there in verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sin. What's so great about salvation? Well, let me tell you something. It has to be great because the requirement of sin is great.
Yeah.
Amen. And the requirement of sin, we saw it right there in the verse, is death. The requirement is death. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 27, the Bible said, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And everybody here has got an appointment with death. Amen. Now listen, I'll be the first to say that I hope the Lord interrupts our appointment with a trumpet.
Amen.
Amen. I'm looking for that. I'm longing for that. I'm trying to live in light of that, that it could come today, that my life might matter in some way to point someone to that. Amen. So they don't get left behind.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what, if truth be known, God's in charge of His timing. I'm not wondering if He's coming. I'm not spending a lot of time wondering when He's coming. I just want to be found faithful when He comes, because He's coming.
Amen.
So until that day, we've got an appointment. And the Bible says we've got an appointment with death. It is appointed on the man. It says over there in Amos, prepare to meet thy God. Boy, there's only one way to be prepared for this appointment I'm talking about. Amen. And that's to know that your sins are forgiven. It isn't turning over new leaves. It's not getting victory over some bad habits. It's not being a good person. The only way to be prepared to meet your Maker is to have your sins under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The requirement for sin. Listen, you know, I hope I'm not the first one to break the news to you, but that book says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some people want to debate who needs to be sinned, who needs to be saved. That's not a big debate either. Everybody. Says in Revelation chapter 22 that the Lamb is the glory of God. And when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you might be the finest person in Texas. And you're going to come short of Jesus Christ, friend. And if that hurts your feelings, amen. Stick around. I'll probably do it a few more times. Amen. But I'll do it in love. Because that book says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You hear me? Jesus Christ, love you. The Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And boy, he cares about us enough to reveal the truth to us and send his only begotten son. And he did that out of love. Amen. And we proclaim the word of God, the truth of God, from the book of God with the love that Jesus Christ first showed us. If you're not saved here this morning, this would be a great day, a great place to get saved.
Amen.
Might want to wait till April to get baptized, but no, I'm kidding on that. Or February, I don't know, 100 degrees in February, amen. But, now we're all familiar with that, because death is part of life. I buried my sister 4 months ago, 74 years old. I preached her funeral. 5 years before that, I preached my dad's. I stood over a flag-draped coffin of a combat veteran in World War II. Boy, I'm glad I have a confidence of knowing that I'm going to see him again. 9 years before that, I preached my mother's, and as we go around the room, everybody in here is well familiar that death is part of life. So it says, and as it is appointed unto man, wants to die. Amen. It's not one of the best parts, but it's part of life. We've got an appointment. But that verse says, we've got an appointment with judgment. But after this, the judgment. And it doesn't stop at the grave. Not even close. Actually, that's where eternity begins.
Amen. Amen.
So, every one of us has got two appointments that we're not going to be late for. And it might be the first appointment you weren't late for. Amen. But you're not going to be late for that one. Amen. All right, so two appointments. Let me illustrate it like this. We're so worried about death. We're so worried about the temporal and this life. And we don't give the consideration even remotely comparatively to the next appointment, the judgment. Let me illustrate it like this. Now, when we go home, we travel almost all the time. And we get to go home. And I schedule meetings in Ohio and Indiana and in Kentucky so that my wife can see the grandkids. I like seeing them too, but, amen. That's just something that, Lord showed me I need to make a point to do. Amen. They probably like me more the more I stay away, actually. You know, Amazon.com, they just get gifts in the mail. Who's that from? Papa. Oh, we love Papa. And then I get there and they go, you're that guy? I went, yeah, I'm that guy. Anyway. We go home, we try to take care of things like doctor's appointments and checkups and dentist appointments. Now listen, I was a big tough biker and I'm no wimp in any shape. I don't think I'm the toughest guy in the world, but I'm a man. I was raised by a man. Amen. I thank God for that. But could I confess something to you? I don't like going to a dentist. I don't like that. I mean, I can do it, you know, but I don't like it. Yeah. especially when I hear that, that thing. Did they come up with a better way than that yet? Amen? So getting the teeth cleaned, that I can handle that. But boy, when I know that I got to have the checkup. So let me say this. When I call and I make my appointment with the dentist, right? We're talking about appointments. I'm driving over there, doesn't bother me. Going in the front door, doesn't bother me. That girl sitting there saying, hello, Mr. Spurgeon. That's the receptionist. She doesn't bother me. It's that guy in a white coat with the drill. Here's what I'm saying. Death is the receptionist. We spend all our time being fearful of the receptionist, and we don't give near the acknowledgement that we should about the judgment part.
Amen.
Listen, it's appointed unto man once to die, but death has two parts. One's physical. I was in a church. It said there in our text, or at least in Romans 5, so then death passed upon all men. I was in a church in California a few years back now, and during the course I was there, two precious saints went home to be with the Lord. Amen. Both of them succumbed to illnesses, and it wasn't a surprise thing. And one of them happened right during the meeting. We had a memorial service right during the meeting, and the other one was like 2 weeks before, and I was out there, and the pastor got in, and he said at the second funeral, two precious saints, longtime members of the church, you know what he said? We're all in line. This is the inevitability of life on earth. Death is part of it. We're in line. We don't know when our time is.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what, we need to give some consideration.
Amen.
To the spiritual death. It says in Matthew 10 and 28, and fear not them which kill the body and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Yeah.
This is serious business, man. Why is salvation so great? Hey, why is this not a big group hug, kumbaya? Let's all try to feel better about ourselves as we make this journey through life and everybody's a good... Listen, man, sin has a requirement, and it's not just physical death. Amen. There's a spiritual death that ends a person up in a lake of fire.
Right.
So salvation's great because the requirement of sin is great. That's why Hollywood and music and the New Agers, they all want to take the sting out. They want to take the fire out. Listen, the Bible puts the fire back in, and only Jesus Christ can take the sin out, the sting out. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Listen, you get to the end of the line and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you won't escape.
That's right.
You won't escape. I'm here to tell you. I'm trying to help you. Don't risk it. Say that's what your opinion. That's not my opinion. That's the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
Number one, why is salvation? What's so great about salvation? It's because of the requirement of sin is great. I tell you something else, though, it's great. The remedy. The remedy for that requirement. You're in Romans 5, look in verse 20. Verse 20, it says there, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Amen. That reminds me of the day the cops knocked the door down and entered, and the offense abounded. but it says, where sin abounded, grace
Amen.
Did much more abound.
Amen.
What's so great about salvation is this right here. It's great as the requirement is, and it's great. Eternal death, that's a pretty big deal. The remedy is even greater.
Amen.
Look at verse 5. You're in verse 8. You're in Romans 5. Verse number 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, verse 9 says, much more than being now. Now. Right now. Not maybe, not someday, now. Being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate the hymns. Amen. I appreciate you guys using the hymnal. There's more sound doctrine in that old hymn book than there is coming across the pulpit of most churches in America today.
Right.
Amen. I appreciate that. But there's one of those precious hymns that I think it is, Oh, What a Savior. I think it's that one. And I could have looked it up, but I don't have a hymnal. But anyway, one of those old precious hymns has a stanza that goes something like this. They searched through heaven and found a Savior. Is that right? Am I telling the truth? That is not doctrinally accurate at all. Because I'll say it like this. If any search was made in heaven for a Savior, none was found. And God, in the person of Jesus Christ, came Himself.
Amen.
The remedy, as great as the requirement of sin is, all of sin, death path upon all men, we're sinners, amen. But I'm going to tell you what, the remedy for the problem that no earthly anything can fix, the remedy is Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen.
The remedy is greater than the requirement. Amen?
Amen.
Sinless.
Amen.
Betrayed. Arrested. Lied against. Amen. They had to lie against him. I told a story once. Four boys were going to a high school. Last day of school, last day of the exams, they had to take the math exam. The math exam. They all four dreaded it. They all, you know, they were going to graduate. They were looking for it. But this exam right here would determine their grade for the year in math. Graduate, and they were all worried. They all knew they were going to flunk. And they had to come up with a plan. This is how we are. Our wheels start turning. And they come up with a plan. And they said, all right, here's what we'll do. We'll tarry until 5 minutes before class is over. And we'll go in and we'll tell the teacher we had a flat tire. We had a flat tire, no teacher we wanted to be here, no teacher we knew it was important. And what are we going to do now? Because our grade is determined by this test. And they went and they told their story, just as the other students were putting their pencils down. And they made that plea. And the teacher knew she had to come up with something, knew she had to do something to give them a grade. She goes, okay, I'm going to give you guys one question test, and that'll determine your grade for the year. And she sent them to four corners of the room, dismissed the other students, and she asked one question. Which tire? Write down on your paper, which tire blew.
I love it.
Yeah, I forgot that little detail. But you know what? They brought witnesses. Now, they didn't make it. But they brought witnesses against Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the Bible clearly says they didn't agree. And they went ahead and convicted him anyway. And when the verdict came in, Pilate announced, I find no fault in him. And they sent him to be scourged and crucified. This is our Savior. Talk about great love. Oh, we don't comprehend that. We live in the day and age of rights. Where was the ACLU? Amen. Where was anybody? Amen. Nobody was there. Stick up for the Lord. And he gave his back to the smiters. And they plucked out his whiskers. And his visage was so marred. Amen. Wasn't even recognizable. Bible says in one place his bones stared at him. That was discouraging. They mocked him. And they drove a crown of thorns into his head and let him out, nailed him to a cross. And they mocked him again. They said, come down if you can. Let me tell you something this morning. He could have.
Yeah.
He didn't have to put up with any of that.
No, he didn't.
He went willingly.
For
you, sinner friend. If you're in here today and you're in danger of everlasting hellfire, I want you to get a hold of this right here. Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross to make a way for you to escape that. And if you neglect it, you will not. And you're in the midst of a bunch of people that if I asked for a show of hands, would raise them both, thanking God that He went to that length to make salvation available to them. What about you this morning? Are you redeemed?
Yes, amen.
Have you got in on the remedy? It's not religion. It's not turning over a new leaf. Amen. It's not going to church. It is in a man, the man Christ Jesus, plus nothing, minus nothing.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the remedy.
Amen.
That's who changed my life. That book says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
I did not go straight. I did not turn over a new leaf. I didn't even quit the motorcycle club. I became a new creature altogether.
Amen.
Only Jesus Christ could have done that. I didn't even want to be a Christian. I didn't even want to go to church. I just didn't want to go to hell. The rest just came with it. I just turned 25 in the Lord. I got involved in all that motorcycle gang business. That thing in Waco, that was nothing, man. That was nothing. I did a live radio broadcast with some guy out of Oregon 2 days after the Waco thing. They wanted my opinion about that because I'm an author now. That's funny, isn't it? You guys didn't even know that, but that's okay. Amen. That was nothing. I got involved in all that thing not because I wanted to be a dope addict or a drunk or a federal convicted felon. I got involved in all that mess because at 22 years old, I didn't want to be told what to do. I just want to do it my way and have a little fun. Let me tell you something. I've been in church the whole time since I got saved, and I am having more fun than I ever had in my life.
That's right.
I'm running with a better crowd
Amen.
Than I ever run with. Amen?
Amen.
Say, well, Christians, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that, and Christians are a long way from perfect. Yeah, well, I guarantee you they're the best crowd I ever ran with.
Amen.
You too.
Amen.
Amen. I'm like, Brian, now, where was I? What was I preaching? What am I talking about? I know what I'm talking about. We're talking about great salvation. Amen. The Bible says, listen, when they said, come down if you can, and let me say it again, he could have. You know what he had to say about it? Father, forgive them,
Amen.
For they know not what they do. He's talking about me.
Amen.
He's talking about you, Brother
Amen.
Wendell. He is talking about you in here. If you're not
Amen.
Saved, you walk out of here unsaved. You don't know what you're doing.
Amen.
Don't do it.
Amen.
Christ says to forgive you. That forgiveness is the one to get. Amen?
Amen.
That's the forgiveness you're going to have to need. You're going to need to escape. Amen. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And I've already told you, that comes in two parts, not just physical. That comes in an everlasting. If it says, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should have everlasting life, then the context should not perish. Then the context is everlasting perishing.
Right.
The context is eternity. The wages of sin is eternal death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the remedy. Through Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Our Lord. All right, that's two now. Number one, the requirement. Number two, the remedy. And let me give you the last one, the relief. The relief. Say, what are you talking about? When I got locked up, preacher came in. I ended up in church. That's a long story, another story. But I ended up in church, and a preacher came in. I hadn't been in church in my whole adult life. And a preacher came in, opened the Bible to Luke 16, preached on the rich man, preached about that guy lifting up his eyes in hell, being tormented in flames. I remember thinking, oh, thanks a lot, preacher. That cheered me up. I'm dealing with a federal trial. I'm dealing with all these years in federal prison. Now you come in and tell me that I got bigger problems than that? Amen. And that's exactly what he's saying. I'm going to tell you what, you might have made it into the church house this morning, and whatever the reason you accept an invitation today, whatever the reason that brings people finally, after they've tried everything else, to just make an effort to try religion, you won't hear about religion in here. You'll hear about Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning that book says, and I'm going to quote it again, John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I didn't like that preacher, and I didn't like his message. I didn't want to hear about hell any more than you like it right now.
Amen.
But I tell you what, at the end of the day, I sure appreciate someone having the guts to tell
Amen.
Me the truth.
Amen.
I mean, this world's lying to people with religion and Amen. Politics and Hollywood, and everybody's got a game, an angle. Amen. I appreciate somebody telling me the truth. Preacher says something to you, doesn't line up with that book. You better get away from them, get to where they line up with that book.
Amen.
Here's the relief. That preacher told me the penalty of my sin. Reminded me of something Grandma taught me when I was a kid. Hell's real.
Amen.
He told me what Christ went through to make a way so I didn't have to go there. You realize that Jesus Christ, the creator of Genesis chapter 1, who spoke the world into existence, didn't speak sin out of existence. That ought to make it. That ought to make you stop wondering it. Sin must be pretty bad. Pretty bad against God. That it took the cross. It took everything that went with that to make a way for sin to be. The Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses
Amen.
From all sin. We
Amen.
Say, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. Boy, that preacher, I preached on hell, but then he preached on that cross and that love that I already talked about. And I thought to myself, there's no way. Me? I got a doctorate degree in sin. Amen. I worked at it. There's no way I could ever afford that, ever be worthy of that. And you know what? I was right. You know what the relief was? The Bible says, for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
Not of works, lest
Amen.
Any man should boast. You know what the relief was? That it's free.
Amen.
Amen. It's a gift. I'm glad I received it that day. I hope you've received it this morning. I sure hope you're saved here today. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Many of you I've seen last couple years in a row, got no reason to doubt that you're saved and heaven bound. The Spirit bears witness. Let me tell you something, man. I've been in some places recently where the Spirit was so bad that I walked in the door and it was like a cool drink of water. And why would I even, you're not taking an offering from me. Why would I say that if I didn't mean it? Spirit's good. Bless my soul. Here's what I'm saying. Some of you, you're saved, but you've been reminded today, just nothing you didn't already know, of why your salvation's so great. It isn't because of where you go and preach, it isn't because of your missionaries, it isn't because you come to church faithful, that's not why your salvation is what it is, because of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
Plus
you, Lord.
Nothing, minus nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out. You got it? Work it out. You know what they're doing all over the country? Working it up. I heard a preacher say the other day, we don't need to work anything up, man. What's below us is bad. We don't want to work anything up. We want, amen, God to come down. That's what we want. But that's what they're doing. Right this hour, all over America, especially this time zone, right? Central time zone, a lot of people. They're working it up today, tomorrow, same old, back to the nasty now, not back to the work and all the things like we're supposed to do. just back to being the same old person they were when they weren't in church. And if you think the world's not watching that, they're watching it.
Amen.
And they got one word for it, and it's hypocrite.
Yes, sir.
We need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling because people we know, loved ones, neighbors, coworkers, friends, and strangers we pass by every day are going to die. We're all going to die. They're going to go straight to hell if you don't, if we don't take this thing seriously. Amen? Let me say again, and I'll wrap it up with this. If you're in here this morning and you're not saved, it says this in 2 Corinthians 6, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now." Yeah. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
You better get this thing before you step into eternity.
Right.
I'll say that. But I want to say to you, too, there's a reason to deal with it sooner rather than later.
Right.
Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, how? No, I mean, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And we've got appointments, and we don't know when they are. And I'd sure advise you, don't neglect this thing any longer. You made it in here this morning, chances are you've heard it before, and you're hearing it again. It's time to do something with it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Lord, come back today. Your appointment with death could be today, tomorrow. We don't know, but we know some things. We know where we'll spend eternity. I hope you know. If you don't, let one of us open a Bible. Maybe it's just a question. Maybe there's some confusion based on, you know, a religious upbringing. Let you see what the Bible has to say about it. Because that's what will make the difference.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The relief is that there's only one way. I'm glad it's that way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's a relief to me. I made so many mistakes in my life that if salvation was multiple choice, I'd have got it wrong. That's my track record. And I'm not alone either. A lot of us made some mistakes.
Amen.
That's why our faith and trust is in somebody that never made any mistakes.
Yes. Amen.
Salvation is like a multiple choice test. And there's only one answer, and it's Jesus Christ. And the only way you can mess that up is just not answer at all. If you just neglect it. Don't neglect it this morning. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. The message is clear enough. I'm not going to belabor it. Brother Lindell's going to come. If you're not saved, let us open a Bible. Show you what it says. If you've been living, you've got the gift of eternal life, but maybe you haven't taken this thing seriously, the impact of your testimony. Why don't you come talk to the Lord about that? Let's stay busy till the Lord comes back, pointing people to the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Because of a great salvation.
Preacher. 235. A saint through, number 235. If the Lord has touched your heart, this altar is open up here. You're welcome to come down. We will answer your questions. We will pray with you. You are welcome to come. Don't walk out that door if the Holy Spirit has already touched your heart.